If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. I'm going to talk to you tonight about why I believe in Jesus. You could title this, "Why Am I a Christian? Why Do I Believe What I Believe?" You could ask the question by asking, "What do you believe? What do you really believe about Jesus?" Colossians 4:6, I'm going to ask you to stand, please, in reverence to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, eternal word. Remain standing for just a moment, because we're going to flip over to another verse and read that. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse number 6. He says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man." Now turn over to 1 Peter 3. That's just over a few pages. 1 Peter 3. And we'll look at verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. This is a command from the Lord Jesus. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." And then he adds, "with meekness and fear." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the praises of your people. We thank you for this tremendous, wonderful opportunity we have right now, God, to stand and preach your word. And Lord Jesus, I'd ask you now just to forgive me of all my sin. Lord, just wash me whiter than snow. God, forgive me for my faithlessness. Forgive me for my attitude. Lord, my complacency sometimes, my indifference, my callousness, my coldness. Lord Jesus, wash me now in the blood of your Son. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me to overflowing now, Lord, that I may preach, that you may preach through me, God. That you may preach through me, and that, Lord, that we might not only leave here tonight encouraged, but God, may we leave here tonight challenged to serve you in a greater way. I pray all of this in the wonderful, sweet name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. If someone were to ask you why you're a Christian, could you give an answer? Tonight, I want to talk to you on the subject, why I believe in Jesus Christ, or on the subject, why am I a Christian? Now, in our culture today, a lot of people will say, well, Christians are just simple fools for believing in Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about this for a moment, folks, because when you think about it, we're all believers. You see, everybody's a believer. People just believe different things. Some, for example, may believe in atheism. And they're believers. They just choose to believe that there is no God. And they choose to believe then, that's their choice, and if they want to be wrong, they can be wrong, amen? That's their heart's desire. But I must say at the outset, I don't want you to get the idea that atheism is a sign of intelligence. Did you know that Socrates believed in God? Did you know that Galileo believed in God? Did you know Sir Isaac Newton? I'm talking about scientists. Even Albert Einstein believed in God. So it's not a sign of ignorance for somebody to believe in God. Now some may say, well, I believe in God, but I'm more of a philosopher than a Christian. I don't know, excuse me for a minute, I don't know that we have any philosophers here, but I know you've studied philosophy in school. Huxley, great philosopher, here's what he said. He looked at the human race, and he said about the human race, "We are a cancer on the globe." Bertrand Russell, another great philosopher, said of philosophy, "Philosophy proved a washout to me." Now, here's a man who was a philosopher. Dr. R.G. Lee, former pastor, he's home with the Lord right now, Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, said, "Philosophy is a chunk of cloud bank buttered with the night wind." Friend, I hope and pray tonight that you don't turn to philosophy for your answers in life. And I'm glad, young people, you're here. I pray and hope you don't turn to philosophy for that. And may I tell you, folks, then some of you would say, well, Preacher, I'm not a philosopher. I'm not an atheist. I'm a very religious person. But when you say that, then you say, but I just don't happen to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, false religion will never fill the inner peace in your heart. It will never satisfy your hungry heart. If you go to the tomb of Confucius, you'll find his body there. If you go to the tomb of Buddha, you'll find his body there. If you go to the tomb, we hear a lot about Mohammed today. If you go to the tomb of Mohammed, you'll find his body there. But if you go to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find it's empty. Why? Because he's risen from the dead. And this is so important for you and I, because you can take Buddha out of Buddhism and still have Buddhism. And you can take Mohammed out of Islam and you can still have Islam, but you cannot take Jesus Christ out of Christianity and still have Christianity. Because Christianity is not, I say, is not a code, it is not a creed, it is not a cause. Christianity is Jesus Christ himself, amen. You see, folks, Jesus Christ alone can meet the deepest needs in our hearts and in our lives. If you think about it, Jesus is the only answer to man's sin. Think about that, folks. Jesus Christ is the only answer to man's sin. Tell you something else. Jesus Christ gives real meaning to life and to death. For those of you who are Christians, you've lost loved ones of Christians. Folks, you mourn. We all mourn. But I tell you what we do. We look for that time when we're going to see him again. Amen. Jesus Christ alone gives real meaning to life and death. Jesus Christ alone takes the pain out of partying. Jesus Christ alone takes the gloom out of the grave. What a truth. Jesus Christ takes the dread out of dying. Man, I'm kind of looking forward to go be with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ gives hope that is steadfast and sure. You see, folks, it's all about Jesus Christ. Now, why do I believe in Jesus Christ? Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, folks, I'm going to give you four reasons tonight why I believe in Jesus Christ. First, I believe in Jesus Christ because of historical reasons. And I want to tell you, folks, that Jesus Christ is a fact of history. Only real ignorance would deny the fact that Jesus Christ never lived upon this earth. No historian, no scholar worth his salt would ever deny that there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth who lived 2,000 years ago. They just won't do it because it is a solid fact. Now, I could quote a lot of scholars for you, but I'm not going to do so. I'm only going to quote one. And this man's not a Christian. His name is Sir J.C. Frazier. Here's what he said, and I quote, "My theory assumes the historical reality of Jesus of Nazareth as the great religious and moral teacher who founded Christianity and who was crucified in Jerusalem under the governorship of Pontius Pilate." The bottom line is this. You can say all that you want to, but the bottom line is this, folks. Jesus Christ was an historical character, and nobody can doubt that. You can't remove that. You can't doubt that. Now, some will say, well, yeah, I would admit that Jesus Christ was a human being, but that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is God. Well, friend, I want to tell you something personally. You have to face Jesus Christ. You have to deal with Jesus Christ. You cannot remain neutral. We live in a culture today where nobody wants to decide to do anything. They all want to be neutral, folks. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is one of three things. He is either a liar, he is lunatic, or he is Lord. You ever thought about that? Either he is a liar who knew he was not God, but he said he was, or he's a lunatic who thought he was God, but in reality he wasn't God, or he is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, folks. Liar, lunatic, or Lord, folks. He's one of the three. There's no fourth option, amen. So I believe, first of all, in Jesus Christ, for historical reasons, because history proves the undeniable fact that Jesus Christ was here upon this earth some 2,000 years ago, folks. Now, let me give you a second reason why I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only for historical reasons, but I believe in Jesus Christ for scriptural reasons. The Bible, because of the Bible. You see, folks, we've got history to look at, but you and I also have the Word of God, the teachings of the Word of God. Now, some of you are saying, now, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. How do I know the Bible is true? Well, I'm glad you asked that, folks, because I'm going to tell you how I know the Bible is true. I preach sometime back on the Bible. I love preaching on the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is authentic. The Bible is infallible. The Bible is trustworthy. And this book, there's no other book like this book ever been written or ever will be written. It is the Word of God. And if you take this Bible and you study this Bible, you're going to find out that there are four reasons for believing that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. I'm going to give you four reasons. You ought to jot this down, some of you in your Bibles. First, you know what reason number one is? Because of fulfilled prophecy. Now again, I want you to put your thinking caps and I want you to think for a minute. All of the prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Do you know there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And every one of them were fulfilled. And I want to tell you something, folks. That would be impossible without divine revelation. 300. What are the odds? Folks, fulfilled prophecy, first. Second, the unity, the wonderful unity of the Word of God. You ever thought about this, folks? The unity of the Word of God. Now, this is not one book. This is 66 books. I think 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And these books deal with different subjects written by 40 different authors. Have you ever thought about that? Over a period of 1,500 years. And in three languages. Now think about this, folks, and yet in all of that, we see this incredible unity as the Word of God just flows. You ever thought about that, folks? You can take no other book with 66 books and put that together and make it read like one book. Could you? Possible to do. So there's fulfilled prophecy. There's this amazing unity of the Word of God. Let me tell you the third reason, folks. There is the longevity of the Bible. The Bible says of itself, heaven and earth shall pass away. Jesus speaking of the Bible, but my word shall never pass away. Psalms 119. You ought to go home and read Psalms 119. And in Psalm, it's the longest text in the Bible. And here's what you'll find. There's only two verses out of it that does not make a reference to the Word of God. Have you ever read that? Go home and read it. Because you know what it says? It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever and ever, thy word, the written word, is settled in heaven. Dear friend, the Bible is the Word of God because of its longevity. Well, let me just delve a little deeper in this. Folks, think about it. Wars have been fought over the Bible. Men have fought wars. Men have ridiculed the Bible. They've lied against the Bible. They've scorned the Bible. They've laughed at the Bible. They've burned the Bible. They've outlawed the Bible. But this book still lives on. And here it is, 2010, and we're talking about the Word of God. Four reasons. First, prophecy fulfilled. Second, unity of the Bible. Third, longevity of the Bible. There's a fourth reason. The accuracy of the Bible. This book is accurate in every detail. People say, well, it contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. You just don't understand it, like I don't understand it. No mistake, not one mistake in the Word of God. But this is a message on why I believe in Jesus. Why am I talking about why I believe the Bible? Well, I believe Jesus Christ because I believe the Bible presents the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke, bring up Acts 10:43. It says, to him give all the prophets witness. The him there refers to Jesus, and the prophets refer to the Old Testament. I'll read it again. To him, that is Jesus, give all the prophets, that's Old Testament prophets, witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sin. Meaning, as you study the Old Testament, here's what you'll find. You'll find that Jesus Christ is the central theme. You think about that much, you read through, there is a bloodline all the way through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Folks, there's a thin line of blood, and you know what that is? That is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15, Jesus Christ is presented as the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is a reference to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was back in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, Jesus is seen as the seed of Abraham. Genesis 22, we see the Lord Jesus Christ when Abraham offered his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. You know what it said? It said, God himself will provide himself the lamb. You know what that was referring to? That was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Exodus 12, we see the Lord Jesus as the Passover lamb. I've done a whole sermon on that. Leviticus, we see the scapegoat. You know what the scapegoat represents? The priest would lay his hand on the head of that goat and confess the sins of the people, and then that goat would be led away into the wilderness, meaning Jesus Christ bearing our sins. He takes our sins away, never be brought back to us again. In Leviticus, we see the mourning turtle dove, and that dove was sacrificed, and through that, we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the man of sorrows. In Leviticus, we also see that white dove. You know what we see? We see the purity. We see the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about Old Testament priesthood, folks. You and I are led by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. Amen. Exodus, we see the tabernacle, which is a picture of the type of prophecy of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that the Lord Jesus was made flesh and tabernacled. He dwelt among us. The wood in the tabernacle speaks of the humanity of Christ. The gold in the tabernacle speaks of the deity of Christ. The veil in the tabernacle speaks of the flesh of Christ. The altar in the tabernacle speaks of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then over in Numbers, we see the serpent being lifted up on a pole. And I want to remind you what the Bible says again. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That brazen serpent represented Jesus Christ, who took our sin, who was made sin for us. In that serpent, we see the symbol of sin. In that brass, we see the judgment upon sin. In the Brook of Ruth, the Lord Jesus is called the Kinsman Redeemer. In Psalms, the psalmist says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And the Lord God is presented as the Son. Isaiah 53, which reads like the Gospels, where we see the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He is the suffering servant. Daniel 9, we see the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, the Prince, where the very day of his crucifixion is prophesied in the Old Testament. In Micah, we learn that he was born in Bethlehem. Folks, that was hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. In Zechariah, we see that when he comes again, we're going to see his wounds in his hands and his feet. And in the book of Malachi, he is presented as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Even his forerunner, John the Baptist, is shown in the book of Malachi. Preacher, what are you saying? Folks, if you read the Old Testament and you don't see Jesus, you better go back and read it again. Because it is all about Jesus Christ. I'm going to begin preaching on Revelation next Sunday morning. You know what Revelation, well, that's about end things. No, it's not. You know what Revelation's about? About Jesus Christ. If you interpret it outside of that, you don't understand it. That's the only way we can understand Revelation. If you got a hard part you come to, find Jesus in there. When you find Jesus, you'll understand it. Amen? Folks, it is all about Jesus Christ. Why do I believe in Jesus? I want to tell you something, because of historical reasons. But I also believe in Jesus for scriptural reasons. You see, I believe the Bible to be the infallible Word of God. Both Old Testament and New Testament point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you what's so wonderful about it, folks. Hear me. It gives one plan of salvation. One plan. You see, when you study the Bible, you study the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find that there never was a man just like the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is absolutely unique in who he is. Let me ask you some questions to think about. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus never changed any statement he ever made? How many times we got to go back and apologize for something we said? Man, I do all the time. Jesus never had to apologize, not one time. Now, he had people, he said a lot of things made people mad. People wanted to kill him for some of the things he said, but he never one time apologized for anything he said. Have you ever thought about the fact that he never sought advice from anybody? He knew what he was going to do before he did it. Jesus went before the scribes and Pharisees. You know what he did, folks? He corrected them in what they said. He corrected them. Moses had 70 elders to advise him. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, had counsel from people, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ never asked anybody for advice. Man, I'd be lost if I didn't have people I could ask for advice. Amen. I want to tell you something else. Jesus Christ never did justify any of his actions. You know how we justify what we do or we don't do? Jesus Christ never did that. Think about it, folks, when he was in the storm, in the midst of the storm. Jesus in the back, sleeping in the back of the boat. Think about it, folks. Lazarus was dying. You know what? Jesus stayed away. Jesus stayed away. He never justified anything he did or he did not do. I want to tell you something else I discovered. Jesus Christ never asked anybody to pray for him. Man, I'm pleading and begging for y'all to pray for me all the time. Some's going to say, well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his disciples to watch and pray. That's true, folks. But he told them to pray lest they enter into temptation. He asked them to pray for themselves, not for him. Now, you think about that man named Jesus Christ. May I tell you, friend? Jesus Christ never had any strong points. Because if he had any strong points, that didn't mean he had weak points, and he didn't have any weak points. Amen? Jesus Christ was and is absolute, unique, above any other, anywhere. Now, some people are going to say, well, there were other people who were founders of religion. And we could go through a list of those today. Amen? I could give you a long list of people who were founders of religion. But I want to tell you something, folks. All of these other founders came as teachers. Jesus Christ came to die. He didn't come to teach. He came to die. Now, he taught, but he came to die. And may I tell you, folks, Jesus Christ was the only man who ever chose to die. And you might say, oh, no, preacher, people commit suicide. They choose to die. No, they don't choose to die. They just choose a time to die because we're all going to die. Amen? Listen to me, friend. Jesus Christ was the only one who ever lived who did not need to die because there was no sin in him at all. And yet he died for what? For our sins on the cross of Calvary. For all of our sins. He said, no man taketh my life. I lay it down of myself. When Jesus died on the cross, I told you this morning, folks, this was in the mind and heart of God before eternity, the cross of Calvary. And it was planned. And God didn't take his life, and the Jews didn't take his life. Jesus Christ laid down his life. Folks, I believe in Jesus Christ because of biblical or scriptural reasons. This book presents someone who is absolutely unique. There is none other like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, if we could really, as a church and as a nation, if we could really focus and fall in love with Jesus Christ, it would change everything about us. If we could get our focus off ourselves for just a moment, and if we could focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we could do that just this week alone, we're coming into Easter. Amen? Coming into Easter. What better time to tell somebody about it? I mean, it's just there, amen? You know what I was thinking? Y'all answer this for me. Why do so many people go out and buy clothes for Easter and yet they don't go to church? I can't figure that. I saw these people shopping. I mean, I found out yesterday there are 4 belts in Columbia. I went to 3 of them, sat in the car most of the time. If I'd have had time, I'd have gone to the 4th, amen? Because Linda wanted to go shopping, so I rode along. And I saw all these people buying clothes for Easter. And I'm going, I wonder where to go to church. Are they going to buy an Easter outfit and go to church? Maybe they're just going to buy an Easter outfit, amen? Why do all people buy all these clothes? And they don't ever bother to go to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I believe in Jesus for historical reasons. I believe in Jesus for biblical scripture reasons. But I want to tell you something. I also believe in Jesus Christ for spiritual reasons. 1 John 5:6, bring it up, says about Jesus, this is he who came by water and blood. Now, folks, that is Jesus Christ was the actual Christ. That's the physical Christ. Even Jesus, not by water only, but by water and blood. Now, I want you to watch what it says. And is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, I want you to continue in that and listen to John's argument beginning in verse number 8, where he says, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. And then John says in verse number 9, going down to verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now, Brother Robert, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why? I won't tell you why, folks. Because of the witness of God. Because the Holy Spirit has taken the person of Jesus Christ and made him real in my heart. Some 30-something years ago, August 18th, 1974, Saturday night, sitting up in the balcony of my home church, I was a lost church member. For the first time ever, Jesus Christ became a reality in my heart because of the witness of God. Folks, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and he turned me to Jesus Christ. Look again at verse number 9, because it begins with the word if. It should begin with the word since. It should read, since we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. I've received a lot of witness of men, folks, but the witness of God is even greater. One of the main problems you and I have today is trust. We don't trust one another. The bottom line is, most of us don't trust God. You know why we don't? Have you ever thought about why we don't trust God? Because we live our lives by flesh and not by faith. That's why we don't trust God. We do about 90% of what we do in the flesh, when we ought to be doing what we do by faith in God alone. By faith. We live in a world where we trust people every day. You say, Brother Robert, what do you mean? Well, I want to ask you a question. Who went to a restaurant this weekend and ate? Raise your hand. A lot of you did. Who ate your wife's cooking? Some of y'all did that too. You're still here. Amen. She didn't poison you. Do you trust those people at the restaurant? Absolutely. If you didn't, you wouldn't go there, would you? How many of y'all ever flown before? Oh, man, that's a lot of you. You trust the pilot to fly you? How do you know he's a good pilot? Well, he's got a license. How do you know he's a good cook? He won't poison you. Well, they say the food's good at this restaurant. Amen? Folks, we trust the witness of men all the time. Now, stay with me. The witness of God is greater. So don't tell me you can't believe in God. I don't want to hear that. You believe and trust people every day of your life, but we have a God who is a greater witness, and that knocks their feet out from under us, folks, because that gives us every reason to believe and trust God. And yet many of us today don't trust God. The witness of God is far greater than the witness of man. That's what the scripture says. Now, if you believe in God, if you want to, folks, I'm going to tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit enables you to believe in God. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit lives within you. If you are lost, the Holy Spirit's knocking on your door. He's wanting to come live in you. And the Holy Spirit, if you're lost, the Holy Spirit convicts you about Jesus Christ. He causes you to believe what Jesus says about himself. He says the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and says the Word of God is true. Folks, how do we believe the Word of God is true? I want to tell you how, folks, because the Holy Spirit told me so. Amen. The Holy Spirit that lives within me has told me that the Word of God is true. We receive the witness of men all the time. Why can't we receive the witness of God? The Holy Spirit witnesses to me about Jesus Christ. Now watch it, folks. And then the Holy Spirit witnesses in me. 1 John 5:10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Some of you are saying, well, I'm a preacher, I don't even know where you're going. Well, let me go with it this way. A few years back, there was a cafeteria down in Orangeburg that served double-dipped pork chops. You ever had a double-dipped pork chop? Nope. What did he mean by that? I asked the guy who cooked. He said, well, we dip it twice in batter before we fry it. Double-dipped pork chops. Man, my family will tell you, out of this world. Amen. I knew I'd get Luke to say amen to something I've said. Great restaurant, great food. I mean, they had biscuits. They had chicken and rice stew. They had mac and cheese, and it's just loaded down with cheese. I mean, when you dip it out, the cheese just run out. Amen. I'm talking about they had dessert, but I always went for them double-dipped pork chops. That's what I like. Now, let's just suppose you come to me and say, Brother Robert, I want to tell you something. I don't believe in double-dipped pork chops. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you, there is no such a thing as double-dipped pork chops. Now, I've gone in my country mode. My wife's going to fuss at me. Well, friend, you can argue all you want, but I have the testimony in me. Amen. Folks, that is exactly what Jesus says here. He says, taste and see, the Lord is good. Folks, listen to me. A man with experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument, especially if his experience is confirmed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God that lives in you, folks. Now, I'm just telling you why I believe in Jesus Christ. Friend, Jesus is a historical figure. We've established that. And I have to deal with Jesus Christ. He is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. Then we have the Word of God that proves that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. Folks, only someone with ignorance would mock the Lord Jesus Christ. They would say it's not true, He's not living, He's not who He says He is. Friend, Jesus Christ is the most unique, the most incredible person who ever came to this world. And then on top of all that, Jesus Christ is the Holy Son of God. And you take those historical facts about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you take the Word of God, and then you take the Holy Spirit that lives within you and convicts you, and then you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, folks, something very wonderful happened. You know what happens, folks? The Holy Spirit of God witnesses in me. In me. Amen. Now, I want to give you the fourth reason why I believe in Jesus. Now, I'm going to be through. Not only because of historical reasons, not only because of spiritual reasons, not only because of scriptural reasons, but I believe in Jesus Christ because of personal reasons. What do you mean, Brother Robert, personal reason? Well, I'll tell you what I mean, folks. My mom and my daddy taught me to believe in Jesus Christ. And I love my parents. Now you say, Brother Robert, that's silly. That's a silly argument. I don't think so, folks, because my mom and daddy wanted what was best for me. Amen? Your parents want what's best for you. And I want to tell you something, how I know personally. The personal reason why I believe in Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people in this world, but the best people I know are God's people. The best people I know by far, the most wonderful people I know, the most loving people I know, the kindest people I know, the most compassionate people I know, the most loving people I know are followers of Jesus Christ. And because of that, I can believe in Jesus Christ for personal reasons. Now, I want to tell you about someone whom the Lord Jesus changed. He was a young man who was not raised very far from here. This young man came up in a Christian home, Christian daddy, Christian mama. For many years, he attended church. He was a lost church member. He knew in his head about Jesus, but he didn't know in his heart. And at the age of 21, he realized he was lost. And he realized for the first time that Jesus Christ really died on a cross for his sins. And it was like the Lord Jesus passed by him, and the Lord Jesus said to him, "What can I do for you?" And he said, "Lord, do it all for me, because I've tried everything I know to try. I've failed at every junction I've come to. I've made a mess of my life. And Lord, I'm coming to you now. And I'm confessing my sin. And I'm turning from my sin. And I'm asking you to save me." You know who that person is? That person's Robert Jumper. He's now the pastor. And it is a privilege. I've told you this before. When you call me, still hadn't got over the wonder of it. It is a privilege and an honor for me to be the pastor of South Lexington Baptist Church. Now, folks, if someone were to ask me tonight, "Brother Robert, give me a real reason for the hope that's in you," and I can just say one word: Jesus. Jesus. Folks, it's all about Jesus. It's all about giving your life to Him. It's all about surrendering your life to Him. It's about making Him daily Lord of your life. It's about spending time with Him in prayer and devotion. The best part of my day, the greatest part of my day, is spent when I'm alone with Him. And I cherish that experience. I look for that experience every day. Why? Because He loves me. And I'm starting to learn how to love Him. I say that, folks. I'm being honest. I think I'm just now starting to really know what it means to love Him with all of my strength. John chapter 5. Jesus turned to His disciples as they were leaving Him. Here's what He said. He said, "Will you also go away?" And here's what they said. Listen to what they said. They said, "To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." I want to tell you something, folks. There's no other place to go but to Jesus Christ. No other person to go to but to Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved tonight, I beg you to come to Christ. If you're saved and you're out of fellowship, I beg you to come to this altar. Make this altar a place where you get your heart right with the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Invitation time. I tell you this all the time. Most important part of the service. It's so important because God's Spirit's dealing with people. God's speaking to people. Some of you here today, right now, God's speaking to you about issues in your life. Some of you, He's speaking to you about being saved. You know you need to be saved. Some of you, He's speaking to about the Lordship, about His Lordship in your life, about coming to terms with who Jesus really is, and about swapping out your life for His life for the rest of your life. That's what Lordship really means. And you need to come to terms with that. I said this morning, it's a tough decision. It's a serious decision. But many of you need to make that decision because you really want to serve God, but you don't have God's power in your life. And the reason you don't have God's power in your life is because you have not acknowledged His Lordship over your life. Don't you want God's power on you? Don't you want to sense God's power when you walk into a place? Don't you want to know in the morning when you get up that God's power is alive within you? Folks, you can experience that by dealing with the lordship issue. This altar is available. I'm going to be available if you like prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you again for the blessings of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this tremendous opportunity you give me to preach your word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, now for the invitation, God, that you'd speak to hearts. God, that you'd do what I cannot do, and that is bring conviction in the hearts of mind of people. Lord Jesus, I pray this in your precious name. Amen. You stand right now with